Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the morning Darm Daf Mem Aleph. We actually got to the first line of Mem Aleph, Omid Aleph, but we're going to start from the two dots that are three lines from the bottom on Mem Omid Beis, which was a very short Omid. We'll just quickly chazer that over. So we begin. The Girsa is that we have Omar Rav Ami, Omar Rav. Now, see, the Hagos Tziyunim tells us that there are a number of different Girsas over here. We had just previously had Omar Rav Ravin or Rav Ovin Omar Rav. So some suggest that this Girsa should be over here, Omar Rav Ovin or Omar Ravin Omar Rav, which will be consistent with the next Girsa that we have as well to change that. Or others suggest that we change the previous Girsa. Instead of being Omar Rav Ovin, it should be Omar Rav Ami, Omar Rav. In any event, it was either Ravin, Rav Ovin, or Rav Ami, who said the following statement in the name of Rav. Maida said, what does the puzzle mean when it tells us, V'atah ben Adam, asay l'cho kli gola zu ner v'kara, that when Yechezkel, we discussed this yesterday, we'll just run through it real quickly, Yechezkel would often be asked to go and demonstrate certain future prophecies that would be occurring to Klal Yisrael, and here he was told to show them they were going to Golus, they were going to destroy the first base of Mikdash, and Klal Yisrael would have to go into Golus. So he told them, you should prepare for this, you should bring with yourselves a lamp, an air, a kara, a certain type of clay, the shatiach. We turn to Mem Aleph, Omud Aleph, and this is where we left off yesterday. We had said a shatiach was either some sort of a sleeping blanket, like the opinion of the Rosh, or Lishon Olav, or others say no, it was some sort of like a tablecloth, some sort of a leather that was cooked, that would be used like as a tablecloth, that they would spread out their fruit upon this table. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Bechoser Kol. The pasuk that we're now going to read is a famous pasuk from the Tochacha. We just had in the previous pasuk that isn't mentioned here in the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the reason why we're going to Nebuch going to God is because we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha uvetuv lev, and therefore, since you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with great happiness, so now you're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with great sadness. As the pasuk tells us, the whole pasuk is Yavadato es oyevecha asher yishalchenu Hashem bach, Bera'av, uve'tzamah, uve'eram, uve'choser, kol. So you're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of these negative attributes. In other words, you're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in great famine, in great thirst, uve'eram, and you're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of being naked, arum, and b'choser, kol. Now, the obvious question is, b'choser, kol implies you're missing everything. They just told us, you're ready serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with hunger and thirst, and without clothing, with nakedness. So what is Bechoser Kol adding? So we have, again, Omer Rav Ami, Omer Rav is the Girsa that we have. Others suggest this should be over here, Omer Rav Ovin, or Rav Ovin, Omer Rav. In any event, he says as follows, that this is below Ner u below Shulchan. Bechoser Kol means that not only will you not have anything to eat, anything to drink, you won't have clothing, but you won't even have a lamp, a ner, and you won't even have a shulchan, not having a table either. In other words, you're really going to be lacking everything. Bechoser kol, you're going to be lacking everything. Now, that's one definition of what bechoser kol means, and now we're going to have another definition. Rav Chisda disagrees, or he adds, and he says, Rav Chisda amar, below isha, a person is choser kol, is missing a wife. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos, if you remember back, had taught us a number of things about how tremendous it is for a person to have a good wife. Something a person should say every day and realize, Baruch Hashem, if he's blessed with having a good wife. This is the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis Omud Beis, and it tells us, Kol Adam Shein Lo Isha, if a man doesn't have a wife, Shari below Simcha, he's living without happiness. Wife brings happiness. Below bracha, he doesn't have any bracha. It says the wife brings all the bracha into the house. The person is successful because of the merits of his wife. And below tova, he doesn't have good. So this is what it means when Rav Chisda says the person doesn't have an isha, he's missing all these things. He's missing simcha, he's missing bracha, and he's missing tova. Now, that's what Rav Tanchum Amar Rav Chani Loi said. In Eretz Yisrael, in my Rava Amri, they said that a person who doesn't have a wife will not have Torah, below Torah. He won't learn completely. He won't have his wife to be his Ezek and Egdo, and have to spend a lot of his time doing other things than learning Torah. So when he has a wife, then he'll be able to learn more Torah. So a person who doesn't have a wife is below Torah, below Choma. He doesn't have a wall around himself. A person with Chabon Islam will sin. If he has a wife, then the wife will keep him on the straight and narrow, and a person will be able to take care of his life much better, because his wife will keep a wall around him. That's one of the reasons why the woman circles the man seven times at the chuppah, to demonstrate this idea that she makes a wall around the husband. That's the opinion of Eretz Yisrael, B'mai Rava. Finally, we have Rava Bar Ula says that if a man doesn't have a wife, he lives below Shalom. He doesn't have peace. He won't have true Shalom. Okay, so that's Rav Chisda, who tells us that when it says Mechoser Kol, it means you won't have a wife. Rav Sheshes Omar, he says another thing. He says below Shamash. If a person is unfortunately in the status of being Mechoser Kol, he won't have a Shamash. He won't have somebody to assist him. I don't think he's talking here about the wife. He's talking about somebody else. He won't have somebody in his life that will be able to help him accomplish what he needs to accomplish. Rav Nachman Omar something else. Rav Nachman says Mechoser Kol means below Deya. The person won't have wisdom. The person will be without full Deya. That's what it means, Mechoser Kol, missing everything. Tana, we learn the following rites, below Melach or below Revav. Finally, we have the last two opinions as to what it means Bechoser Kol. So the Brisa tells us it means he won't have salt and he won't have Revav. Revav is Shmaltz, as the Mefarish says, Shumon, or the Ran says it means Shemen. In any event, we won't have some sort of a Shmaltz. We won't have these ingredients that are necessary, as the Mefarish says, the Malefes Behu. These are accoutrements that you add on to your food to make your meal complete. A person doesn't have salt, doesn't have Shmaltz, so his eating will not be complete. That's what it means, Choser Kol. Okay. Amabai. Abai says, Naktina. If you look in the Masar Sashas, Osalaf, he says, go look in the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Hey, and you'll understand what Naktina means. And if you go look over there, it means Misoris Abusenu, or Minog Merabusenu. So it teaches us this is the Masar that we have. Naktina means that this was the tradition, this was the Masar that we had from our previous generations. And Rabbi tells us, ain't oni el bedeya. There is no person who is as poor as a person that is missing deya. He doesn't have wisdom. He doesn't have das. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the Marava army, they would add on to this in Eretz Yisrael, and they would say, the da bay, if a person has such wisdom, so then kula bay, then he has everything. If you have deya, so then you have everything. You'll understand and appreciate everything if you have deya. So therefore, it's like you have everything. However, the low dar bay, if you do not have deya, so then mape, then you have nothing, because everything that you have, you won't really appreciate, you won't really know how to use this properly. As the Mefari says, Misha Yeshbo Deya, Kamisha Yeshbo Hakol, Shinonetsar Klum. If somebody has wisdom, so then he has everything, he's not lacking anything. However, if he doesn't have deya, so then even if he has a lot of stuff, he doesn't appreciate it, and it's as if he has nothing. Da Kani. And we somewhat repeat this, albeit there's a slightly different interpretation over here. Da kani, if a person does acquire wisdom, so then machasri is lacking nothing. As the Mefarish says, Misha kana das ain't a chasri klum. He won't be missing anything. If you have das, you're not going to need anything. You'll have your das, and your das will be able to complete you and make sure that you get everything that you need. Da lo kani, but if you don't have das, so then ma kani, then anything that you have, you're not going to fully appreciate, you're not going to be able to fully use properly, and it'll be as if you didn't have anything. The Ran says, similarly, he says, ma yoil lo koma shiikna. Anything that you get, you won't know how to use it. It's like, for example, you buy a brand new appliance, but you don't know how to use it. A person gets a new iPhone, he gets a new fancy gadget, but he doesn't know all the gimmicks, he doesn't know all the gadgets that are involved over here, and how to use this properly. So therefore, he has this fancy toy, but he doesn't know how to use it properly. Rav Alexandri says the name of Rav Chiya Rabba. Ein hachola omed bechol yo ad shemochel lo akol avonosav. Rachman al-Tzad, if a person has a serious illness, and then he, Baruch Hashem, is healed from this serious illness, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has essentially only allowed him to be healed from his illness because he was moichel all of his avonos. So the person had certain things that caused him to get sick. We, again, cannot understand why somebody gets sick. Rachman al-Tzad, you can't tell somebody, listen, you're sick because you're virus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We don't understand how and why he runs the world. Why some people who seem to be very good die young, and some people who seem very bad die old. So we don't understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a given. But what Rav Alexandri is telling us, the name of Ruchiyah Barabbah, is that if a person does get up from an illness, so that it's this HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, okay, I'm going to forgive you for your sins, because otherwise he wouldn't have gotten up from the illness. And this is based upon the pasuk that we have from Tehillim, Shenemar, HaSoleach L'chol Avoneichi, the one who forgives you from all of your sins. Then the next part is he will then go and heal you from all your troubles and all the illnesses that you have. So therefore, Alexandri is telling us that if a person is Baruch Hashem able to be healed from some serious illness, so it's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven him for his sins as well. Rav Nuna adds over here and he says, Choser Limei Alumov, you go back to being like you were in your youth. In other words, you go back to being a young man without sin. Shenemar, as here we have the pasuk from Eov that tells us, Rutpash, the Ran tells us that Rutpash is a notrikon for Rotov Vopash, which the Mefarish explains a little bit further, and he says, Kimo Kishas Rotov Upash. You'll go back to being like in your youth when you were fresh and you were energetic. As the Targum of Paru Uravu in Unkelis is Pushu Visogu. In other words, you'll go back to being very fresh, very young, very pure. So, Rutvash Bisoro Minoar. Your skin will be even fresher than it was when you were a nar, when you were a young child. And the end of the pasuk is Yoshuv Lemei Alumov. You'll return to the way you were when you were in your Alumov in the days of your youth. Tosos says a very beautiful idea. He says, in Dibra Masu Chose Lemei Alumov, he says, Debari Hachola Kishinisrape. A person who was sick and then he gets better can actually sometimes be even healthier and better off than he was originally. The troubles that he has, they've been totally healed, so he's now actually better than he was the way before. Well, continues in the adds to this idea, and it says, Kol Mishkavo Hafachto B'chol Yo. We have another passage from Tehillim that says, all of his Mishkav, all the places where he sleeps, will be upset. Hafachta, they'll be overturned because of his sickness. Now, what does this mean? So the Mefarish explains, in the Ramasa Kol Mishkavo, he says, Kol Seder Hatzos Limuda Mesudalo, all of the learning that you have, Nepachlo B'cholyo U'mishakho. It will be upset from your learning. A person has learning, and when he has his learning all well arranged, and then he gets sick, Nebuch, the sickness can make him forget, and can bamboozle him, and make all of his learning go awry. So it's no longer nice and neatly back the way it should be, but it's all messed up. So the person's sickness can make him, unfortunately, mess up. The Hagos at Siyunim, Oslamet says that the Ran wasn't Goris over here, v'chomishkovo fachta b'choyo, but instead, they have the Girsa that this is just going back on the previous pasuk that we brought down. As the Ran says, Dibramasu lomar dimishkach limudo yimei alumav. It means that he'll forget his learning and he'll go back to the days of his youth where he didn't have this learning yet. Kodorish meinyan haloma. That this is telling us that you'll be missing things that you had acquired and accomplished, but you go back to the way it was in your youth. And the Rosh says the same thing, and he says that shenelam mimenu limudo, that he'll have forgotten his learning. Okay. In any event, we have two examples now of people that were very, very, very great, but they got sick and Nebuch lost their learning and it was returned to them. So Rav Yosef Cholash, we know Rav Yosef was a blind person, and at one point in his life, he also got very, very sick. And the Aker Le Limude, all of his learning was uprooted from him. In other words, he lost a lot of his learning because of his sickness. And the Ran explains that Hichbid Olav Limudo Shishichacho, it was very heavy upon him, all the learning that he lost. In other words, he felt terrible that he lost all this learning. So Ahadre Abaye Kame, Abaye was a star pupil, so Abaye knew everything that Rav Yosef had taught them, so he went over and retaught it back to Rav Yosef, everything that he had learned from Rav Yosef. Ahadre Abaye Kame, so Abaye appeared before him, and he returned to him everything that Rav Yosef had taught him. And that's why we find Hainu, the Bechol Duch Darmin, that's where we find all over Shas, and the Mesoros HaShas in Oz Beis brings down 8 places where we find this statement being made. The Rav Yosef says, I don't remember learning that. And Abaye says, yes, Rebbe, you, in fact, taught it to us, and here is what you said. This was the source. Hainu Bechol Duch Darmin, that's what we find in many places where we find in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Lo Shmieli Hador Shmaisa. I don't remember hearing this Shmaisa. I don't remember ever saying this Shmaisa. And Abaye would tell him, Amalei Abaye, Rebbe, you did teach it to us. At Amriso Nihalon. You, in fact, taught us this, and this was the source that you taught it to us. This was the brisa that you taught it to us from. So Rav Yosef was restored his learning from Abaye, telling him everything that he had been taught. Similarly, we have a similar story with Rebbe. When Rebbe had finished learning 13 ways of learning the Mishnayos. Rebbe, we know, was the redactor of the Mishnayos, and he had many, many different versions of the way the Mishnahs could be, and he ultimately redacted it into the version that we have. So this 13 Apei Hilchasa, so we find in the Ran that the Ran tells us Apei Hilchasa means B'yud Gimel Ponim, in 13 different ways would he learn. And Tosafot says Beferish that this is 13 different ways Yud Gimel upon him shall Hilchos Mishnah, the halachos of the Mishnah. So he had them in 13 different ways. He organized them in 13 different ways, and now he was going to put them into one way. So Agmor L'Rebbe Chia Shiva Minhot. During his arranging of these 13, he had taught 7 to his star pupil Rebbe Chia. So obviously the question is, what were these 7? So the Marashah explains that these 7 were Hilchos Shabbos, Shviyas, Sfira, Yovel, the Yud Gimel Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah addressed them, and the Yud Gimel Likarim that the Rambam had later on codified. In any event, those were the seven Siddurim that Rebbe had taught Rebbe Chiya. Fine. Lesof, Nebuch, afterwards, Cholash Rebbe, Rebbe got sick, and Rebbe Chiya was able to restore him the seven that he had been taught, but he didn't know the other six, so he wasn't able to restore those. So, Ahad, Rebbe Chiya, Kamei, Hanu Shiva, Ape, Da'agmere. So, Rebbe Chiya was able to restore to Rebbe, he repeated back to him the seven sections, the seven ways that Rebbe had taught him. However, Shisa Ozdo, but the six that he hadn't taught Rebbe Chiya were lost, or seemingly had been lost. However, Havahau, Katsra, there was a famous Katsra. Katsra, all the Mepharshim explained to us, is a koves, a cleaner, a launderer. And this launderer, it mentions in the Gemara in Ksubas that we had recently, that when Rebbe died, there was a certain katsu who wasn't at the funeral. He was very, very upset because it had been said that anybody who was at Rebbe's funeral would be guaranteed olam haba. Now this katsu obviously had heard Rebbe learn many, many things by being near Rebbe, and he was very upset that he wasn't able to be at Rebbe's funeral, and the Gemara in Ksubas tells us that he was granted olam haba as well. In any event, this katsu, this launderer, Have a shmiya leila Rebbe, kida have a garislo. Nistama, his workshop was near the Beis Medrash, and he actually was a big Talmud Chacham himself, and he had heard these other six versions of the 13, right? Rebbe Chiya had heard seven of them, and this Katsra had heard six of the other versions, and he was able to go and teach them to Rebbe Chiya. Also, Rebbe Chiya begarma yasum kame Katsra. So Rebbe Chiya went to this Katsra and was able to learn the other six versions that Rebbe had mentioned out loud that this Katsra had heard and had memorized. And then, also, Vahadda Yatzon Kamei Rebbe. And after Rebbe Chiya Mistama, he was able to fix them up. The Katsra maybe wasn't as brilliant on Talmud Chacham as Rebbe Chiya, obviously. So the Katsra had repeated the things verbatim that Rebbe said, but didn't maybe fully understand them. So Rebbe Chiya was able to organize it better. And then Rebbe Chiya presented these last six Siddurim to Rebbe. So now Rebbe had the seven that Rebbe Chiya had been taught and the additional six that the Katsra had taught Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya now taught Rebbe. So Rebbe was so happy about this. Kad havi chozi le Rebbe lao katsra. When Rebbe next saw this katsra, amalei Rebbe. Or whenever Rebbe would see this katsra, he told this katsra, Rebbe would tell him, ato si so si, you made me, v'yes chia, and you also made chia. So what does this mean, you made me? So the Raj brings down, this is very, very much consistent with, it's es ha-nefesh ershar asu b'charan, when Avram and Sarah converted people, so it says es hanefesh esher asu b'charan, and the Rosh tells us kol ha'olam chavei Torah kilu aso, and this is a famous idea from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that when anybody goes and teaches somebody else Torah, so it's as if you made that person. It's as if you were a chavu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in making that person. So Rebbe told this katsra, listen, you made me, and you also made Rebbe Chiya by restoring these additional six versions to us. Alternatively, this is what Rebbe said to this Katsra. Atos, he says, Chia, you taught Chia, you didn't teach me. You taught Rebbe Chia, and you made Rebbe Chia, so to say. Again, this idea is a nefesh asu b'charan, and then Rebbe Chia, the Chia, also see. So he made me by teaching me these six versions. Now we have another member that we'd said over before, the name of Alexandria Amar Rebbe Chia Barabba. So we have another member of Amar Rebbe Alexandria Amar Rebbe Chia Barabba. Godol Nes Shinasa Lechola, the miracle of a chola getting healthy, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu restoring that person's health, is an even greater miracle. Yoser Minanes Shinasa Lechanani Mishol Vezariah is even greater than the Nes that happened to Hanani Mishol Vezariah. Of course, we all remember Hanani Mishol Vezariah had lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that everybody had to bow down to him. He felt he was like God, and he made what we call an andartu. He made busts of his face and his figure all over, and everybody had to bow down to them. Now, the Mepharshim bring down over there in the Gemara that it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah, and technically the Jewish people would be allowed to go bow down to this because they weren't bowing down to an Avodah Zarah, they were just giving homage to the king. However, Hanan Mishol and Azariah said we have to make a Kiddush Hashem, and they learned from the Tzfaradayim that some of the Tzfaradayim, they were willing to be Moser their Nefesh by going into the Tanurim, right? It says the Tzfaradayah in Makas Tzfaradayah were all over the place. So some of them were in the bed, some of them were in the kitchen, and some of them were in the oven. So those Tzfaradayah that went into the oven were Moser Nefesh to give up their lives to Zerah Kosh Baruch Hu. So Hanan Mishol and Azariah learned the Kavachor from Tzfaradayah and said we also have to give up our lives and not bow down to this Avodah Zarah. So Hanan Mishol and Azariah were thrown by Nebuchadnezzar into a big fire, and they were miraculously saved in the fire. So that saving them from the fire, the physical fire, is not as great as saving somebody from the fire of the sickness that would overtake them. So it says, Shulchanani Mishol Vazaya Eish Shel Hedyot. That was a regular physical fire. However, anybody could go and put that fire out. You take water, you take a hose, you put that fire out. However, you can't necessarily put out the fire of illness. When a person gets sick, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put that fire out, so all the doctors in the world won't be successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends sometimes a good doctor to be a shaliach to help put out the fire. But that's a bigger miracle in some ways than being saved from a physical fire. So that's what Rav Alexandri said, this other statement. Mark tells us another member from Alexandri. Amr Alexandri, Amr Reb Chiya Barava, he says the name of Reb Chiya Barava again. And the Amr, others say here, this was Amr Reb Yeshua ben Levi. In any event, whoever it was that said this, he says, Kivan Shigia Kid Social Adam, when a person has reached the end of his lifetime, the amount of set time, his kates, the amount of time that is set for that person, so then once that person dies, Hakol Moshlim Bo. There is nothing that will protect him. We have by Shlomo Melch, he says it's better to be a live dog than to be a dead lion. Because the lion, it's the king of the forest, when he's alive, is also a zero when he's dead. So when a person reaches the end of his lifetime, Hakol Moshlim Bo, everybody can go and rule over this person. The insects, the maggots, the creatures of the dirt are going to eat that person's body up, Nebuch. And this is based upon the pasuk where it says by Cain after he killed Hevel. So he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're punishing me. You've taken away your hashkacha over me. Shenemar, v'yakom motzi yargeni. Once you've decided, so to say, that I'm no longer under your shlita, you've rejected me, so then anybody can come and kill me. In other words, when the end of a person's lifetime comes, it's like when Cain was rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Cain said, I have no ability to protect myself. No, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Cain a special ability to be able to protect himself. And that is analogous over here to the person when he reaches the end of his lifetime, so he has nobody to protect him, and even the small creatures are able to have shlita over the person's body. Rav Amar min Hodenkra. Rav gave a different source of this than what either of Alexandri or Yeshua Levi said. Rav said it's based upon this pasuk that we have also in Tehillim, L'mishpatecha amdu hayom, Kiakol Avodecha. So all of these creatures are ready to do your bidding. They're ready to do your mishpat because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many servants. In other words, there are many, many different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can control you. There are many servants that he can send to go and do his bidding. And Maisa Shaya, Rabba Bar Shila. So Rabba Bar Shila, now the Gersa of the Hagos and Siyunim says he was told by a Kaldoi, one of these astrologers, one of the Kaldoim, told him the following. Amrulei, this Kaldoi, told him, Have a Rochiv Gavra Gavoa. There was a very tall man that was riding on, Have a Rochiv Gavra Gavoa, on Girdona Zutra, on a very small mule. And the Mefarish explains over here that in this situation, he was not very, very high above the ground. And therefore, in this situation, when he's riding on this small donkey, he adds in Dibra Maskel V'estoyet. He says V'afu pisha preda namucha. Even though this donkey is very, very low, V'yuhay aruch, and he's very, very high, so he's essentially not going to fall very far from this donkey. Kol kach delo nofal ela ma'at. And even though he only is going to fall a little bit when he falls off this donkey, as we'll see in a second, he nevertheless died. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send any eved, any one of his servants, as the Mefarish said earlier, lamiso afilu zvuv afilu yitush, even a small fly, even a small insect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a gnat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send them to kill a person. So this tall man, so some of the Mefarshim, such as the Tosus, say over here that he was Adam Godo, he was a very, very tall person, but the Agos Siyunim says in Os Nun that he was only tall in height, but Lav Davka that he was tall in his strength. In any event, as the Ran says as well, Adam Shoya Gavoa Kama Aruch. He was very, very tall, but Lav Davka that he was very, very strong. In any event, this person was riding on this small donkey, this female donkey, and Mota Titura, he reached a bridge. Titura is a gesher, a bridge. We have on the Tefillin, we have the Titura, which is the area on which the Ritzua goes through that area. So that's the bridge. So this Titura is a bridge. They reach this bridge. Istivit Shadje v'koshochiv. Istivit, this donkey, somehow went mad. As the Mefari says, Nispachto, it got a fear in it for whatever the reason. Nispachto hafreda. V'shadje mina v'shochiv. And it threw off the person. And even though he was only a small height above the ground, the person was killed. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different ways to kill a person. As the Ran explains over here, Achazosa ruach shtus liosa preda. Something went into this preda and it made it go crazy. V'shlichaso b'nahar. And he threw this person into the river. Loshon Vistavit, he says, is Loshon Satya Ruach Shel Shigon. A craziness went into this person. We have similarly, the Tosa says that it was Nivas, the donkey got scared and threw the person off and killed him. So therefore he died. And Kori Al Nafshei, Surabba Barshila, said about this person, our Pasuk, L'mishmatecha Amdu Hayom, Ke'akol Avadecha. Everybody is your servant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can accomplish what you want through many, many, many different servants. Another Maitzah Shahaya, similar to that, Shmuel, Chazya Lahau. Now the Girsa that we have is Karkisa the Akraba, but it really should be that he saw, as you see in Oz Gimel, he saw a Akraba, a scorpion, the Yasiva, that was sitting on top of Al Akrukasa, a croaking animal, was sitting on top of a female frog. So you have a scorpion, imagine this, can't get to the other side of the river. He has to get to the other side of the river, so he hops a ride on top of a frog. Doesn't kill the frog, the scorpion rides atop of the frog, the Avrinara, and this way gets across the river to the other side. And then, Tarka Gavra, he goes, the scorpion goes and bites a man, he stings this person, Umayis, and the man dies from the poison of the scorpion. And Kori Alei, Shmuel goes and says about such a person, Apasuk, Mishmatecha, Amdu Hayom, Kiyakol Avodecha. You have many, many servants. This arrangement that the scorpion was able to float on top of the frog to get to the other side of the river to go kill this man. That's when that man was supposed to die. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the scorpion to that man in this unusual fashion by using the frog as a boat. Amar Shmuel tells us another statement, Ein mevakrin sechol, a person isn't allowed to do bikacholim except on a person, Ela lemi shel chaltsaso chama, that a person has chaltsaso chama. What does that mean? So the Ran tells us, Shilovashto chama, Adam mizdayin, like a person who's being put with armor on. The sun comes over here and cloaks the person, Shaydei kleizayin sh'olav nikra cholos. He's called clothed over here. So in other words, you can only go visit somebody who is chaltsasu chama, that he has a fever. That Kosh Bohu enclosed this person, he armored this person with a fever. The Tosa says over here, Shehichsik Chamimuso Vadainu Huchola, that he has this fever and he's still a sick person. That's the person you should go do Bikacholim on. Now, that implies that there's other people that you shouldn't do Bikacholim on. Lafuke Mai, who should you not do Bikacholim on? And I had mentioned this in yesterday's Shia, this is the Gemara I got it from. Lafuke, as opposed to, you shouldn't do bikacholim on the following. Hard the tanya that we learned in the following brisa. Rav Yosef ben Prata, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Yosef ben Prata said over in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that you shouldn't do bikacholim, ein mevakrin, not lo lecholim me'ayim. You shouldn't go and do bikacholim on a person who's cholim me'ayim. Why not? Because the person who's cholim me'ayim is going to be very, very embarrassed. Mishum kisufa, as the Ran says, the zimdim shetzorach l'mekovav u'machsev, because he has to go to the bathroom and he's embarrassed. He can't control himself, and he's going to go to the bathroom in front of you, or he has to run away. And they didn't have indoor toilets and everything like us, so they had maybe a little pot in the corner, a chamber pot, and you're standing there, and he's embarrassed, or he's going to have intestinal sounds, he's going to pass gas, he's going to have diarrhea, and it's very, very embarrassing. So don't go visit a person who's a choli me'ayim because of the embarrassment that it's going to cause him. V'lo choli ayin, likewise, if a person has something wrong with his eye, v'lo mechushei harosh, or he has a headache, he has a bad head pain. Now, why not? So I already explained, bishlamo choli me'ayim mishum kisufa. So the person who has gastrointestinal illnesses, so we understand why you shouldn't go visit him because, again, the embarrassment that he's going to have, the kisufa, the shame that he's going to have, he's passing gas, he has diarrhea, he has a foul odor about him, etc., etc. So don't go visit such a person. You're going to only cause him embarrassment. But what's so terrible about visiting somebody who has elo choli ayin or mechushe arosh, somebody has bad eye pain and somebody has a bad headache? So why can't you visit them night time? What's the reason you shouldn't do bikacholim according to Rabbi Yosef Prata in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer? So be sure to Rabbi Yehuda. That's based on what Rabbi Yehuda said. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Dar Rabbi Yehuda, dibura kasha li'ena. That's the girsa that we have, that speaking to this person is actually bad for their eyes and bad for their headache. And it's also actually going to be good for a fever. So therefore, you bedavka should go visit a person who has fever because talking to them will be helpful to them. But it's bad. People who have eye pain, people who have bad headaches, they don't want to talk. They want to be left alone. They want to be in quiet. The noise of talking will disturb them. That's the girsa that we have. However, if you look at the girsa that's brought down in the Hagos, Vitzionim, Oz Hey, who says, look in the Vilna Gaon over here, and if you look in the Goz Hagra, Oz Salah, he says, Kashio Le'ena Uli Ashosa. he says that this is talking is bad both for the eyes and it's also bad for the fever. Not ma'ale la'shasa, but it's also bad for the fever as well. And this is in fact what the Rosh says. The Rosh says, Dibura kasha liena. V'chei nami l'mecho sharosh sheteva echod lohem. He says that this is bad for the eyes as well as for the head, and it's difficult for the person. Now, this is a problem. The Hagos Tzion Osei says it doesn't seem to make sense. You're telling us it's good to go visit a person who is having fevers, and here it seems to say that it's bad to go and visit the person who's having fever. And he says, Tzarech Iyun, you need to go and figure out how to go correct this. Lochor Tomua. So he says, you need to go and explain this in some way because it seems to be contradictory. Now, I thought Lanias Dati, that the Gears of the Rush says it's just Kasha Le'ena, he doesn't have anything about Ashasa, and maybe the word Ashasa is either deleted, or maybe like the Gersa that we have, Umali L'Ashasa, it's good for a fever. Okay, Mora now tells us a little bit more about fevers. I'm a Rava. Rava tells us, Hi, Ishasa, this fever that a person has, Ilav de Parvanka de Malocha de Mosa, if it wasn't for the fact that this was a Parvanka, the Ran tells us, the Libra Masa de Parvanka, this is Sholiach Sha'ayodo Mesim, this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends for a person to die, if it wasn't for the fact that this fever is from the Malach HaMavis, Ma'ale, it would actually be good for a person. Fever is actually considered to be good for a person, and actually, from a scientific point of view, we can say that there's certain bacteria, there's certain infectious agents that don't do well if your temperature is elevated. And in fact, they used to go and treat certain illnesses by giving the person a fever in the hopes that the higher temperature of the body would somehow knock out the infectious agent. No, we don't recommend that being done on a regular basis, but fever is lav dafka bad for a person. And Robert tells us if it wasn't for the fact that the fever is an agent of the Malach HaMavis, it actually would be mali. It would actually be good for a person. We turn to the Omid Beis. The Rans are still here on the Omid Aleph. We'll refer back to some of the Rans still on the bottom of Mem Aleph Omid Aleph, but we turn to Mem Aleph Omid Beis. And he says that the fevers are good. Mali kichizra lidikle. Just like you have something that is seemingly bad, the pointy, prickly parts of a dekel of the palm tree, as the Ran tells us on the Omid Aleph, he says that this is kichizra lidiklo hutsin shesoviv adekel, those little spiny things that are around the palm tree, shesharven oso mibehem usvchayas, they actually protect the tree from the animals that will come to go and eat the tree or climb up the tree. So the fever is also protective of a person, just like these spiny prickly things are protective to the dekel. As the Mefarish says over here, Kimo ho atad shemekif hadekel umegin leperos she'en yicholum lemimashmish bo kach megino al gufo shalodim. Just like these prickly things protect the tree from the animals climbing up and eating the fruits, so too the fever would actually be protective of the body. If it wasn't for the fact that it was an agent of the Malach HaMavis, we would say, Yashu Koyach, it's a good thing that we have this. And he says, if a person has a fever, chad l'tlosin yoma, if a person had a fever once every 30 days, it would actually be good for him. V'chi tiryake l'gufa, because it would be like a tiryake l'gufa. What's tiryake? So if you look in the Laz Rashi on the daf, he says, pirish tsari. This is a certain type of a spice known as tsari, and it's refuah misukenes min basar nochosh. This comes from the flesh of a nachash. The nachash has poison in it, and the flesh of the nachash, so to say, is an antidote. The nachash doesn't die from its own poison, so there's something inside the flesh of the nachash. So in besamim, besamim, that you combine it with besamim and samim, various types of spices and potions, so it will counteract neged sam hamovis of the venom of the snake. And if you look actually in the medical dictionaries, in Dorland's medical dictionary, he says that this word theriaca is in fact a mixture of 60 to 70 antidotes that are mixed with honey, and they're used to treat the poisonous snake venom, and this was a standard practice in the Middle Ages. So this is some sort of a therapy, theriaca. And the Rosh says the same idea. It's some sort of a potion. This teriyaka is sam osui mitaroves haminim. It's a mixture of various ingredients that will have a benefit for the sickness that a person might have. Mark continues and says, on the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, lohi v'lo teriyaka. I would rather not have the fever, I would rather not have the teriyaka. In other words, I'd rather not get sick. It's much better for a person not to get sick than to get sick and then to be healed with this fever or to be healed with this teriyaka. I'm a Rabbi Bar Yonas, and I'm a Rabbi Yechiel. Rabbi Bar Yonasan said in the name of Rabbi Yechiel, arson. What is arson? Arson is a certain type of cereal. So we'll see in a moment. So arson is yofel lechola lufuoso. It's normally a good thing to be given to a sick person, a generic cure for sick people. And more elsewhere in Yuma tells us that this would be something that would pregnant women would go and eat, especially it was good for their babies. In any event, what's this arson? Maybe that's where it comes. Arson means a crib as well. So maybe that's the source for that. So my arson, Summer of Yonasan, what is this? It's chushlo disari. So the Mefarish tells us over here, it's saorim yishenim klufim. It's old barley that has been peeled. And the Likutei Rashi bring down from Bava Metzia that this was shishorin saorim b'mayim. They would soak the barley in water, and then they would dry it off, and they would go and hit it, and doshin b'paros, they would go and have cows go and thresh it, lahasir klipasa, that would remove the shell. In any event, this chushla disari, what was that good for? Chushla disari atikasa, if it's old, the reish nafya that are left when you go and sift it, they're left on the top of this nafya. That's how the Tosus explains it. It'll be a solish shosorim. This is like the fine flour that is left from the barley on the top of the nafya. So that is going to be also something that is healthy for a person. Again, arson yofa lechola lufuasa. Amar Baya, Baya says, however, bayan bishula, you have to make sure that you cook it a lot. Ka'ein bisra de Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that certain types of ox meat you don't need a blech for because it takes them so long to cook. There's no way they'll be ready Friday night. Normally we make it, need a blech on something because we're afraid that you're going to want to eat it on a Friday night. You're going to stir it to go make it heat up so it'll be ready on Friday night. But ox meat requires such a long time to cook. You wouldn't technically need a blech on it because there's no way it'll be ready Friday night no matter what you do to it. It needs to cook for a very long period of time. So again, in order for this chushl desari to work, is this arson to be this therapeutic agent, it has to cook for a very long period of time. Alternatively, Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef tells us, Smide disari atiksa, this is like the flour of this old barley that's been peeled, the Deresh Nafya, that's on the top of the sifter, on the top of this Nafya, this colander, this sifting item. And Abai says the same thing, Amar Abai, Bayan Bishula, you need to go and cook it, Kibisra the Torah, like you need to cook the ox for a long period of time to make the meat soft, so too you have to cook this barley for a long period of time in order for it to be therapeutic. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, Bardom ain't mevakrin. If a person has an illness called Bardom, what is Bardom? So this is Nutrikun as well. The Ran tells us, and this again, the Ran is found on the Omer Aleph, he says that this Bardom is Teva Achas Kishte Tevos. It's one word, it's really two words. Bardom. This is some sort of dam that collects below. Some suggest that this is hemorrhoidal blood. You can see this in the Tosos. It says, Bor Novea Dam. This is a pit that is flowing out with blood, mitachtonim, from the hemorrhoids. So this is some rectal bleeding. So this Bor Dam, ain't vacuum. Don't go visit such a person. Again, the obvious reason would be because this person is going to be very embarrassed because he has his diarrhea and he's flowing blood constantly out from him. So this person would be somebody that is unhappy to have visitors. So don't go visit him, Rav Yochanan tells us. And don't even mention the name. As the Ran tells us over here on the Amud Aleph, the Ran says that you shouldn't mention this name. He first points out that you shouldn't visit him because he's going to need to go to the bathroom and it's going to be painful. He can't go to the bathroom when you're there. They maskir in Shemo. The Ran says, Lomar, Ploni Chola, Holy Bardom. You don't even say that such a person has this holy called Bardom. The Lav Losh Nikiyah. It's not a nice thing to say about the person, or the word Bardom is not a nice word. So the word diarrhea, it's not a pleasant public word that you want to say. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. You don't even mention his name. Ain't Shmo. Why not? My time. So I remember Laza says, Mnei Shu Kemayin Anavei, because as we pointed out, it's like a flowing spring of blood, and therefore it's not a good thing for the person. Rabbi Laza adds, he says, Lomelik Roshmo Bardom. Why is it called, this illness called Bardom? Shu Kemayin Anavei. It's like a bard that is flowing out with dam. It is a Mayan, like a well, a spring that is flowing. Finally, we quote the last part of the Mishnah. It says, "Unrapeyu refuas hanefesh." A person is allowed to go if he's osur b'hana to go and heal him. What we called refuas hanefesh, but not refuas mamon. So the Gemara says, "Hechitani." What exactly are we talking about in the Mishnah? Elim, if you're going to tell me the refuas nefesh b'chinam, refuas mamon b'schar, if you're telling me that it means that you can go and heal him for free, refuas nefesh b'chinam, so this way he's not getting any benefit from you, and refuas mamon means b'schar, that you're not allowed to go take money from him, because in this way you would be benefiting from him. If that's the situation, that doesn't make any sense, because listening, you could have just said straight out, you're allowed to go heal him for free, but you're not allowed to take money for it. So if that's what it meant, that's what it would have said. Why did you use these funny terms of refuas hanefesh and refuas mamam? So therefore, it's actually talking about refuas nefesh gufo. When it says refuas nefesh, it means his guf, meaning the person himself. Him you're allowed to go heal because the mitzvah go to make him better. It's like hashavas aveda, when a person loses something, you have to return it. So certainly if he loses his health, you have a mitzvah to return it to him if you can. And refuas mamon means to go and take care of his animals, behemto. You have no obligation to go and heal his behema. And therefore, if you were to go and heal his animal, you're going doing him a direct benefit, and that would not be allowed in this situation. As you see in the Ran, Ran says, Refuas nefesh gufo, umesukma b'shenichsnei rofe asur al-chola. We're dealing over here where the rofe is also to give hanoah to the chola. Umishum hachi lo yirapi b'emto. And that's why you can heal the person, because there is no iser in healing another person. That's a mitzvah, but to heal his behemah, that is not a mitzvah, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Now, the Ran points out, we're dealing here that there is another veterinarian around. There is another person that could heal his animal. Because the Elo, if there is no other person available, then Shari Laraposa, then you would be allowed to go and heal the animal, because we learned earlier on Daf Lam and Gimel Dot Nan, Machsir Lo Avedoso, you're allowed to go return somebody their Aveda. So if you're allowed to go and return his animal if he lost it, certainly if the animal is sick and you're the only person that can heal that animal, you'd be allowed to do that as well. So therefore, Elabadi, the Ran says, Kishiyesh Rofe Acher Askinan. We're dealing here where there is another person that can go and heal the animal. But you're still allowed, even though there's another doctor to heal the person, you don't have to say, well, let the other doctor go and heal him. I won't do this because he's not allowed to get hanoah from me. No, because Dainu Gufo, for the person, Lefish Lo Min Hakol Odom Zoche Lisrapos. Because a person may not be cured by somebody else. Maybe he's only going to be destined to be cured by you. And that's what the Yerushalmi says. Well, he used to be Yerushalmi. However, for the animal, so there's another veterinarian around. Let the other veterinarian go and take care of that person. So therefore, that's what the Gemara means in the Mishnah when it said, Refuas Hanefesh and Refuas Mamon. It's talking about for the person themselves, Refuas Nefesh Gufo, and Refuas Mamon means his animal, Behemto. Finally, we conclude this beautiful section on Bikur Cholim and Refuah in general. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said in the name of Rav, Avul Omilo, he's allowed to tell him, even if he's not allowed to go heal the animal, that Sam Ploni Yofala, Sam Ploni Rala, he can give him advice and say, listen, you should know that this medicine will cure that illness, or this medicine will actually be there for that illness. That he's allowed to do, that's not a problem. As the Ran points out, the Kivan, the Ihu Lo Yoiv, Hau Sam Olea, he's not himself putting that medicine on it, he's not giving that Sam to him, so Shari, that's allowed, because Danon Mela Asya, he's giving him advice. No, then the guy's going to take that advice, so that's an indirect benefit, and that is allowed. Then he adds, Umino the Refuas Gufo, Afilu Losum Hasam Biyodov, Shari. He says, but to actually, if you're healing the person, you can actually put the Sam directly on him. Umiyu Daka Shehe Michel Mudar, but that's only if it belongs to that person. But if it belongs to you, and you're also to give him hanoah, so while you could put on his balm or salve on him, or give him the medicine that was his and put it in his mouth, but you can't go take your medicine, your salve, your balm, and put it directly on him or give it to him. I will Michel Madir Lo, because he says, Dafilu Hechel de Ein Lo. For you to actually give him that direct benefit, even though you could heal him, you could cure him with his medications, but to take your medicine and give it to him, that is not allowed, because in this way, the issa of Hanah is provided to him directly. And therefore, in this situation, if you have the medicine and he needs it, you'd have to put it on a rock and make it, so to say, hefker, and then he would take it from the rock. But you can't give it to him directly. However, he says, if it was the chola that had said, I asked myself to get any benefit from the rofe, maybe in that situation, maybe in that situation you could give it to him, the min chiyuse lo adre, because again, we had this idea yesterday that Mestaba, when he said, I asked myself to get Hanoah from you, so it was only in a situation where he wouldn't be benefiting himself, but where he needs the benefit himself, he never made that iser go into effect. Okay, that concludes this sugya. We still have two more mishnayos today to do. We'll try to run through them. The Mishnah tells us, the next Mishnah, Barochets imo ba'ambati gedola. A person who is not allowed to get Hanoah from another person, nevertheless is allowed to go into a large bathhouse, into a large like jacuzzi or bathtub, ba'ambati gedola, is a large kli that has water in it, and even though you're raising the water a little bit, and therefore he's getting a little bit of benefit from your going in there, and he's not like a benefit from you. Nevertheless, you're allowed to do this because it's such a large bathhouse, and such a benefit is not really considered anything of significance. As Ran says, Shekivan, Shehi Gedola, Inamayim Olin Alzea Bishul Chaveru. Here, the person who's also giving him hanah, when he goes in there, he raises the water level a quarter of an inch, that's not really called a significant benefit. But if it's in a little bathhouse, a little bathtub of a low biktana, it's a small jacuzzi, and you're going in there, and now you're elevating it, so instead of it being just above his waist, it's now above his shoulders, so then you're not allowed to do that because he's also getting an offer. As the Ran says, the Masa of a little bit of Matik should be told Shahik Tana, since it's such a small bathtub, such a small jacuzzi, Kishiroche Timo, when the other person goes in there, he's raising the level of the water and giving him benefit. Now the water is covering him all up, and therefore that's not allowed. Then the Mishnah tells us, V'yoshen imo b'mita, but they are allowed to sleep in the same bed. And the Mishnah qualifies this and says, Rehuda Omer, that when we're talking about doing this, is only b'yom sechama. It's only during the hot summer months when being in the same bed with somebody else will not do them a benefit of warming up the bed, making their body temperatures together. So people are very freezing cold, so they huddle together in order to conserve the heat, in order to help one person with the other in terms of maintaining the heat there. So that is only applicable in the cold weather. So Yehuda says in the Mishnah where we said, V'yoshin imo b'mita, it's only talking about the b'yomos hachama, only during the hot summer months when you're not really giving them any benefit by being next to them in the bed. Avolo b'yomos hagishom, but not during the winter months, because in that situation, he's giving him benefit, he's warming him up, and therefore that's not allowed. Mishnah continues and says, u'meis avimo alamita, you're allowed to go and sit on the bed, like hasaba, like we do on the Seder, you're allowed to lean with him on the same bed, and we're not concerned that they're going to end up falling asleep and lying down. That isn't a concern for us. And therefore you're allowed to do this. Next thing, avalomina tamkoi, but they're not allowed to go both eat together from a same plate. So they put out a serving dish, and they're both going to eat from it. So there's a certain amount of food over there. If one person has more than the other person, so then the other person is going to have less. So therefore, if the person who's also to give hanor to the other person doesn't take as much, so then he's essentially giving more food to the other person, and therefore that's not allowed. And that's what the Ran tells us in Dibur Hamaskol Ava Ochel Imo Min HaTamchoi HaChozer. So he says, if it's the type of thing, Shechozer L'Bal HaBayis, if the Bal HaBayis is going to go and take the leftovers back, so then, in that situation, you're not giving him any hanah by not eating as much as you are, because there's so much over there that he has enough to eat anyway, so you're not really helping him. But if the Tamchoi is not going to go back, they're going to put this out there, and whatever's gone is going to go into the garbage. It's expected that will all be finished up. So if you don't eat so much, then the other person is going to benefit from eating your portion that you didn't eat. And therefore, you're not allowed to go eat from the same tamchoi. Unless, aval ochelu imo min tamchoi achozer, because in that situation, there's more than enough food. Gemara starts up and explains, Tanya, we learned the following braisa. This is Tosefta. Lo yirchatz imo b'yambati. We said you're not allowed to go and wash with him in a bathhouse. Lo yishan imo b'mita. You're not allowed to go sleep with him in the same bed. And this, according to the Tanakama, Reb Meir, is ben gedol ben katana, whether it's large or whether it's small. Divrei Meir. Reb Meir says you basically cannot do this, and the reasoning is because we are concerned, as the Ran tells us, the Maskul Tanya. He says atavayu koi. That Reb Meir makes his exer here on both the first case, the ambati, whether it's large or small, and the bed, whether it's large or small. So Gaza Reb Meir b'ambati gedola afal gav the lo ahani lehu lay, even though he's not giving you any benefit. Atuktana, because if we let you go into the large bathtub, you may go into the small bathtub, the mahani lay. In that situation, he will get benefit. And likewise, so Gaza nami b'mita begedola begetana. We don't let you sleep in the large bed because you may sleep in the small bed. And this is true. Vafilu b'osachama. He goes even furthermore. It says even in the summer months when you're not getting any benefit, we're making this gezeira atuk tana b'mosa gushamim the mahani lay, because of the concern that in the winter months, if it's a small bed, you will get hanah. So therefore, we don't let you do it in the winter months, and we don't let you even do it in a large bed as well. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Omer gedola b'mosa gushamim uketana b'mosa chamim mutar. He says the gedola during the rainy season, in other words, in the large bed, even during the winter months, is not a problem because you're not giving him any hanah, even though it's cold. But you're sleeping; it's a large bed. You're not giving him any benefit, and certainly in the summer months, uketana b'mosa chamim mutar. And in a small bed, even in the summer months, we let you because you're not giving him any benefit, as the Ran says. In continuing this Nibra Maskel of Tanya, the Rabbi Yehuda Pali with Tavayu, he disagrees with him in both of these situations. He argues with him both. In the winter months, he lets you be in there in a large bed, and the summer months, he lets you be there even in a small bed. Because in both of these situations, you're not giving him any hanah, and Reb Yehuda doesn't make you say it. Furthermore, he's allowed to go and wash with him in a large bathtub because he's not giving him any hanah, and he doesn't make his error from a large one to a small one. And he even allows it to be inside a sauna. Mazia is schwitzing. So he's allowed to go into a schwitz with him in a small schwitz because the fact that he's in there doesn't really make anything better for the other person. As the Tosus brings down in Dibur Matzul Mazia Biktana, Shemi Achar She'enu El Mazia, just schwitzing over there, Lo Misani Mine, he doesn't really get any benefit from you being there in as well. Finally, go to the last Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Loyochal Imo Min Ha'evos Shelofnei HaPoalim. You're not allowed to go, if you're Mudur Hanoah from the person, to go and eat with him from the Evos. The Evos is a trough. The Ran brings down this Lashon, that this means a Ka'ara Gedola, Shinosin Lefnei HaPoalim, that you put in front of the workers a big, big plate. Shemitoch Shehem Amelim, and because they're working so hard, Ochel Harbi, they eat a lot, they have a big appetite. And we, so to say, use this trough like a behema because it's so hungry. That's why it's called an avos. Now, if one of them eats a little bit less, because now there's more food for everybody else, so he's benefiting everybody else. So if you're also to give hanah to the other people, so then he can't eat from that because he's going to eat less and it's going to cause the other people hanah. Nothing is ever returned to the balabayis. This trough is going to be totally eaten up. So therefore, otana shriyusa the avos achoser. Therefore, there is no such thing over here as an avos achoser, like we had the tamchoy achoser. So the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to eat with the person who's mudar hanoah with the other people, because when he doesn't eat as much, he's giving them all hanoah. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us lo yase imo ba'oman. What is an oman? So the Ran tells us dibur masa ba'oman is shuras hakerem. This is a row in a vineyard. Because if he's going to be digging in front of you, so your job is going to be that much easier because he's already made the ground that much softer. And the Tanakam over here, Rav Meir, says, even when they're far apart, nevertheless, also Rav Meir, the Gazarachu, Mishum Karu, Kedis of Gemara. As Gemara will tell us, he doesn't let you work even when they're far away from each other, because then you may come to work when they're close to each other, and you would be Mahanahim by making the dirt softer, and he's also getting an offer from you, and therefore he would benefit from you if you're working close together. Rav Meir makes a gzera, even if you're working far away. Divi Rav Meir, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chamamim, no. Also, the Hu Barachim Yenun, they don't make the gzera. They say, if you're close by, we agree. But if you're far away, then it's not a problem. We don't make the gzera. So the Gemara tells us, Bekaru, Lo Plige, everybody agrees that if they're working near each other, the Asir, that that's not allowed, because you're definitely benefiting him, because you made the ground softer, and he's not going to have to hoe so hard. Ki Plige, they only argue, do we make a gzera not? Berachu, when you're far away. So Rav Meir Sabar, Gazrin, and Rachu Mishum Karu, Rav Meir makes a gzera. And the Komarafi, Lo Learu Kame, because you're making the ground softer in front of him when you're near each other. So we have to be concerned that if you're far away, and we let you do that, then you do it when you're near each other. For Rabban and Sabri, no, we don't make such a great zera lo gazrina, and therefore, if you're far away, you're not really getting any benefit, you're allowed to, and if you're nearby, then you're not allowed to, everybody agrees. With this, we conclude today's share.